All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and lo and behold, it is the day before this evening, game one of the World Series. The day before the first night, the first game of the World Series, okay? Because it's not a day game.
It's the day.
No, he's starting
the day
early,
before
Nick.
Was yesterday.
The day before the first game. This is the day leading into the night.
The afternoon before.
Welcome into The Usual Suspects, everybody. Nick's here. I'm
what
here.
What up?
And
Nick, you got to show support.
You're already annoying. You're already annoying.
He's going
30
even
seconds
further
into
now.
The first
you
segment. You're annoying Joel, he's injured.
Yeah, well, I'm showing support. I'm going to sit uncomfortable like he has to.
No, you're mocking him.
No,
exactly.
I'm going to, look, if he's got to suffer, I'm going to suffer.
I'm really hoping at some point that I get drainage out of this thing that I can just slap his way and just to get him to understand.
Oh, that'd be gross. It'd be funny, yeah. But it'd be disgusting.
No, yes, it would be funny.
So we need you to join in.
No, I'm safe behind this glass.
You would tear a ball, wouldn't you? It'd just pop out. You're not limber, are you?
Right out of my head.
Out of your head? What? Why are there balls coming out of your head?
see, look at we've already gotten way off track, and we're at like a minute
I'm so confused right now. I thought I knew anatomy. Apparently, I don't.
No, you don't. You're clueless.
How do you do this for 3 hours? If you go to the Twitch stream, you'll see what we're talking about.
Well, you can't really see it on the Twitch stream.
So I got to keep my foot elevated.
You can see Barry's, but you can't see Joel's.
Have told me that I have to keep it elevated.
Yes.
As much as possible.
Yes.
So during the show, they said it has to be elevated. Now, we tried the chair with a garbage can on it to get it
at
the ample height and everything. That didn't work. So now I just throw it over the top of the desk and stretch the groin out in the process.
I feel like you could get your leg over somebody's shoulder pretty easy.
I'm still pretty limber.
Yeah?
Yeah. I used to be able to
do good at jiu-jitsu.
In college, triangle. When we used to do stretching before practice for baseball, the guys were amazed that I could actually take my foot and put it behind my ear.
What?
Yeah. In college.
You would make a hot chick.
I used to be able to do from standing to the splits and pop back up like that dance. Yeah, oh yeah. And then I...
Like the splits, like both legs or one leg?
No,
like James Brown.
Like
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Like down and back up. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and people used to say, hey, do that thing. And if I had enough to drink, I'd be like, yeah, sure. And then I was done playing college sports, and I was playing really competitive softball when I was living in Oregon. We used to travel over the West Coast, and we were in the middle of a tournament, and I went to slide into second base and rolled my entire body weight over my knee. And luckily, I didn't tear anything, but I sprained every ligament in my knee. From that point on, there was never going to be a time when I was going to be able to achieve that splits thing again.
Yeah.
But my teammates were like, mentally, you got to get over this. You got to be able to do the splits thing again one more time. And the one time I did it, it felt like lightning going through my knee. And I'm like, first of all, you guys are a-holes. And second of all, that's never going to happen again.
Now, would it be, because there's two different ways to do the splits, right? You can
You can do kind of a bent leg.
Right. If you're standing facing north, okay, your legs can go east and west.
Right.
Or they can go north and south. Mm-hmm. Which way would you do it?
It was basically north and south.
Okay, so you would go one leg forward, one leg backwards.
Right.
Wow, that's still impressive.
Yeah, and like I said...
So like Choi did with...
Like the stretch at first base, because I played first base a lot too when I was in high school and a little bit in college, you learn how to play and you learn how to stretch at the bag, but... Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah,
you stretched at the bag.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. And you can stretch the bag if you do it the wrong way.
You can mess up the bag if you're stretching at the bag. I've never been limber like that.
I think that's from a baseball perspective, from a pitching perspective. That was the other thing, too, was that I always had a lot of arm flexibility. It was weird when I was a kid. My dad had a scout for the Royals that was following me, and my dad got to know him. And they had this device that it was like a bike hand, like a handlebar grip, and then it was a steel rod that you held. It went along your spine, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you held it down below by you at the base with your hand behind your back. You held it down there, and then at the end of it was a tight bungee cord with a baseball attached. And you would take that, and you would, like, first of all, you could stretch it and show how far your arm could go backwards, and then you'd extend it, and with the bungee cord, it would build up your forearm and your muscles used for pitching.
Yeah.
And by the time I was a senior in high school, like, when they did stretching, like, they did an exercise where the trainers would say, we're going to shake hands with your each hand, but we're going to do it behind your back and see how far you can go.
What?
You could take my two hands behind my back, and you could do crisscrosses.
Really?
Like, I could get them all the way back and touch and then go below and above, like, back and forth. And that's when I knew that I
had
great flexibility.
Jointed?
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Because that's one of those things where, like, people that are double jointed.
It's really
freaky
out
like
when
that.
You see double jointed people with the stuff they can do.
I'm like double jointed and like one of my elbows, I think, or my wrist or something like that. So I can like rotate it a weird way.
Because a lot of people, they can do like hyperextensions and they don't feel it.
Yeah. And it's gross.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those days are well past.
Obviously.
Yeah. So it's been a rough week or since I've last talked to you guys. I had a doctor's appointment on the way home. That went good. I don't need surgery, thankfully.
Good, good, good.
But then I was supposed to have a nurse come to the house to change out all these IVs and things that I've got embedded in my arm. And what nurse not only doesn't show, lies about the fact that she had called me and my wife. And then when you call her, not only she doesn't answer, but she doesn't have her voicemail's full.
A lying, cheating scoundrel.
Exactly. And then she texted at 10 p.m. and said, can I come Tuesday morning at 7:30? To which we replied, yes. And she didn't show. Ooh, well, you want to see a hot household this morning when Lisa and I were up at 6:30?
You just can't trust nurses. That's what I say.
Nick and I were talking about it. You're at the mercy of anybody in the medical profession these days if you need help.
I don't like anybody in the medical field.
God forbid you should marry someone.
Ugh,
like that.
God, they're the worst. Nurses, don't trust them, don't like them.
But marry them. That's what you did.
Did you like that? In our pre-show meeting, you and I were joking, and Nick goes, yeah, they all suck. I was like, bro. I'm married to a nurse. He's like, oh, my bad. I'm sure she's lovely.
Well, I said they're
she's
very
one of the good ones.
Yeah,
she was one of the good ones then.
A-hole. That sounds better.
Yeah. Well. After the look on his face is like, damn it. I just talked mess about his wife in a roundabout way.
Yeah. He's like, I can't take that one back, so nope. I got to try and candy coat it. Oh, she's one of the good ones.
Oh, no,
though.
I'm sure she's lovely. Yeah. I'm sure she's fantastic at her job.
So did y'all do anything last night aside from avoid that nasty football game?
I sat down to watch it and was like, nope, because I caught up to it late.
Yeah.
I was just like, nope, not happening. So we watched reruns of Songland. Or not reruns, but we caught up on Songland.
Oh, boy.
On the DVR, and then I played video games until 1 o'clock in the morning.
You didn't have any paint you could watch dry instead?
Songland is great!
Yeah, that show you're all over.
I love it! And you learn a lot about musicians. I tell you what, the dude, the main guy in One Republic, that is a talented cat.
Good voice.
Yeah, very, but talented. But yeah, that's it. And then played video games till 1 in the morning. And yeah.
Nick, you were
living the good life.
Out and about at your sponsor and
how'd
getting
it go?
Some love at Tight Ends.
It was packed. I mean, there was a bunch of 97.5 hosts there. We had Fred, AJ there doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was there. Dell was there.
Oh.
John Granato was over there buying Coors Light
what
for everybody.
What the hell was Granato doing there?
That passed his bedtime?
I don't know. He was just, he was giving love, giving Coors Light love at Tight End. So if you got go to Tight Ends yesterday, you would have had a blast because not only were there 97.5ers, Walt was over there. Shout out to him.
Walt,
Suspects.
What's up, Walt?
Was Dell there because he lives by there?
Yeah, he was engineering there.
Oh.
And so he's, considering he is probably the closest to that location.
Right.
I'm assuming that's why they put him there.
Did you guys take a lot of pictures?
I didn't do it this time. I didn't want to flood my Instagram. I have video. There's a bunch you can look at on sportsmap.com. And I probably should put a spotlight on each of these girls at Tight Ends.
Uh-huh.
I thought about that earlier, but I didn't really take
did
too many pictures.
Did you say put a spotlight on each girl's tight end?
Nope. Did not say that.
Okay.
They just,
Is spotlight code for
these
something?
These girls have careers.
Is spotlight code for something?
No. Nope.
Put a spotlight on them?
Nope.
Is that code?
Nope.
Just kidding. Just trying to get you in trouble. I did notice yesterday that AJ was being extra.
Why? What was he being extra about?
He was just being extra all day. I was like, boy, he is really... I think he was showing off for Granato.
You mean like on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was very quick to make fun of the horn as he always does each and every time he
needs a new go-to.
Yeah, when does that get
getting old? Yeah.
When does that just be like, okay, we've exhausted that one?
I mean,
already.
Every once, it's, you know, it's one of those things where you wear it out for a couple of weeks and then you circle back to it every couple of weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks, but you don't harp on it. You just, you come back to it, you point it out, you move on.
But look, other than that, it was cool. Fred was cool. He gave me some love. And like I said, there was a lot of 97 hosts there. I mean, the fact that John, Fred, crazy. AJ, Dell, and myself were all there.
I hope people realize no one's there without you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's your deal.
Yeah.
You're responsible for it. And I think that should be notated.
You introduced us to a whole new world.
Tight ends, man, that's a good spot. Like I told you, I guarantee you for the game tonight, it's going to be packed.
Are you going to be there?
I'm not, because I'm going to go to the game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But
Mr. Highfalutin Fancy Pants
over here. Yeah, I'm really pumped for that.
I bet you go in the locker room afterwards.
I was going to say, appreciate you going tonight. Wish you would have been shooting video after game 6.
God, I'm so mad about that. We'll definitely talk about that.
Who'd have thunk that on the day of the game 1 of the World Series, that the bigger story would not involve anything with the Astros on the field, their roster, or otherwise, but one of their front office executives and the way he may or may not have celebrated in the locker room following game 6. It's a huge story. Sports Illustrated started it. It's getting bigger by the hour, and it's something that we're going to have to discuss because it's something that's not going away.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
So I have to do the improv workshop tonight, right?
Yes.
And never mind.
I was going
to
say.
I figured it out. So I was trying to figure out like
what. Were you thinking about shouting something before you go into the workshop?
No, I wanted to record the World Series.
Oh.
And then I couldn't find Fox on the AT&T app. And I remember seeing something was going away soon on AT&T. And I was like, it better not have been Fox for the World Series.
No, but Fox 26 stays. They might get rid of FS1.
Okay.
But for the World Series, it's Fox 26.
I couldn't find it, but if you're using the AT&T app, make sure you take the live off, because that'll screw it up. Because you can only record certain things that are live, or watch live.
Okay.
Apparently. So
There's a fun tidbit for you.
Crisis averted, guys. Crisis averted.
Thank God we got off the hot topic of the day so that we can address
that
for you.
My solidarity with you ends after this segment. I don't know how you do this with this stupid ass leg in the air for 3 hours.
Well, you'll see it because it's going to continue to do that. Otherwise, the
this
option is
sucks so
I'm going to have a foot the size of a hot air balloon.
Oh, it'd match your head.
Yeah. You could call me a clump.
Yes.
I could be a clump. All right. So if you want to join the show, as you know, some of the things we're going to be getting into and, of course, previewing Game 1, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's @TheProducerNick, @BarryIsFunny, and @PacManJoel with a K. We are the usual suspects just getting started on ESPN 97.5. Too much for me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Let's get it going on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before we get down to the heart of the matter with Nats and Astros, there's obviously some unfinished business at the end of game 6 in the locker room celebration that is now consuming headlines across the baseball world and otherwise. In case you missed it, there is a story now that was first reported by Sports Illustrated and Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Epstein, who said that during the celebration in the Houston clubhouse after the Astros win over the Yankees, assistant general manager for the Astros, Brandon Taubman, turned to a group of female reporters, including one wearing a purple domestic violence awareness bracelet, and reportedly yelled, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so effing glad we got Osuna." It was later corroborated by a female Yahoo Sports reporter and a male reporter for the Houston Chronicle, who said that he should have probably spoken up about it sooner. The Astros eventually issued a statement that said that the story posted by Sports Illustrated is misleading and completely irresponsible. An Astros player was being asked questions about a difficult outing. Our executive was supporting the player during a difficult time. His comments had everything to do about the game situation that just occurred and nothing else. They were also not directed towards any specific reporters. We are extremely disappointed in Sports Illustrated's attempt to fabricate a story where one does not exist.
Yeah, I did notice there was a quote that said something to the effect of, I didn't get a good look at whether Taubman stared at them, but he was loud and obnoxious, and he said what he said.
Is that from Hunter
That was
Atkins?
From an anonymous source, or someone who spoke on the condition of anonymity. He definitely was not defending Osuna based on the bad game Osuna had. It was very clear. So I read the Sports Illustrated. Go ahead.
Oh, just one other thing to add to that, because it'll add to what you're saying.
Okay.
In the article in The Athletic that our friend that used to be on the show with us,
Jake Kaplan
wrote, mm-hmm. He said, according to multiple witnesses, Taubman yelled the remarks in question near the end of Saturday's celebration. One witness said he doesn't remember seeing any players being in the area at the time, which contrasts with the team's statement about Osuna, as they said that he was being asked questions about a difficult outing. Osuna blew a save in the ninth by allowing two runs, as we know, to DJ LeMahieu. I didn't get a good look at whether Taubman stared at them, but he was loud and obnoxious, and he said what he said, said one witness, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. He definitely was not defending Osuna based on the bad game Osuna had. It was very clear.
Yeah, just read that last part.
Okay, I'm just telling you, it's from The Athletic. That was word for word.
Here's the thing. So this is obviously a case of he said, she said, okay? Mm-hmm. And my question is, if we're, and I'm not suggesting that I know what happened, I wasn't in the locker room, but if you use some deductive reasoning, why would a guy come out, one, and start praising a guy who damn near lost the game and blew a two-run lead in the ninth inning in game six of the ALDS by proclaiming that he's happy that the Astros have a guy that almost lost them the game? Unless he was defending said player who was being either targeted in a question to another player or asked directly by another reporter about his outing. So to me, it doesn't make sense that an assistant GM would be walking through their locker room and just randomly stop in front of three women and go, I'm so glad we got Osuna. Did you see how he crapped the bed? No, because he didn't say that. He said, I'm so glad we got Osuna. I love Osuna, or whatever it is that he said, praising Osuna. The only logic that's in my head is that someone was either asking another player about Osuna to get them to disparage him or talk about his bad outing, or they were talking to Osuna directly, and he, in the background, was trying to defend Osuna, and whoever was around him, that's who he was defending him to. And if there's reporters around and you want to get a message out, guess what you do? You turn to the reporters and you say your message.
So I tend to agree with you. Why would he start yelling out stuff like that, for no reason?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't believe you would respond that way in the event it was just a reporter's question. That's why I feel like there's a lot of gray area. And it is a lot of he said, yeah. She said, you know, for but sure.
Why
like,
else would you say that?
So
I think he would. One thing I do know, I feel like is true, that multiple resources say that he was being obnoxious. And there was a quote. And he dropped an F-bomb. So that's okay. one thing we know.
Here's my first response to your question, Barry. And that is, we don't know if there's a track record. We don't know if he was yelling at reporters that may or may not have been very critical of the Astros and Osuna when he was acquired or during that process, that maybe he had an axe to grind. We also have to factor in that there was a hell of a lot of alcohol in that, not to make it right or wrong, but some people can't hold their alcohol. And maybe in the midst of all of this, that he got a little loose. I don't know.
The problem with the story is that the way Sports Illustrated paints it is that there was no question asked,
right?
And that the assistant general manager is the one who brought up Osuna on his own in a time where Osuna really almost cost the Astros the game.
That's the hole in the story that I have a problem with.
I actually agree with you.
I can't fathom. Now, I'm not suggesting that his reasoning wasn't malicious or whatever. What I'm saying is that the story, as presented by Sports Illustrated and Stephanie Epstein, doesn't make sense to me, because there's no reason that anyone would just bring up Osuna after that outing by praising him. If he wanted to go to a pool of reporters off the record while everyone's standing there going, God, I hate Osuna, I get it. But why would you praise him If no one brought it up at all, that makes no sense.
But why would two other reporters corroborate the story in the form of the Chronicle and Yahoo Sports?
Because he said what he said, but so, I don't think anybody knows why he said what he said. That could have been on the other side of him, right? And they didn't see the
question. Here's the other thing, and I know you were doing this too, but here's the other thing that really was going through my head. I'm watching Fox's coverage. When they go to commercial break, I'm watching MLB Network, and I'm going back and forth to see from the podium to the locker room, and I realize every time they scan that locker room that I saw Robert Flores from MLB Network. I saw multiple guys from Fox and multiple people from MLB Network getting interviews. You're trying to tell me that there was no video being shot at all during any of this going on? Look, I'll give you a perfect example. We talked yesterday about the great story about the Altuve home run ball and the fact that Brett Gardner picked up the ball, got it to Bracamonte, the bullpen catcher for the Astros, and Aaron Judge also came over to congratulate Bracamonte to say, you guys are great. By the time we got home last night, and Barry, you can verify this, we had video sent to us in which you could actually see that taking place during the center field camera that caught everything of the celebration. In this day and age, with everything going on, with whether it was live video going over MLB Network and or Fox, or all the reporters in there and all the camera crews that were shooting it for all the different outlets, you're telling me that there's no video and there's no audio that can pick up him screaming this and or video of where he was screaming it and how he was screaming it?
Yeah.
That's
a lot of cameras.
That's my broadcast background going, wait a minute, time out. There's got to be someone that's got this.
A lot of filming and cameras and everything else going on in that room. And no one was rolling. No one.
TMZ
no one
would
around
be
them.
Paying top dollar for that video right now.
Again, I'm not suggesting that what happened or what they're saying happened didn't happen. Because Christina Peek-Valkyrie was like, well, maybe he saw the purple bracelet. Really?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know. I didn't even know that.
I didn't
thing.
Either, Joel.
That's a minute detail I felt like was done in the report, too. I agree with that.
I felt like that was to embellish the story. Because if I saw someone wearing a purple bracelet, one, I don't even look at bracelets. As a dude, that's just not something that crosses my mind. Back in the day when everyone was wearing the yellow Livestrong, I would notice those.
Right.
But I have no idea.
But
what
would
a
you notice
would
it
signify.
If you're the assistant general manager of the Houston Astros who signed Osuna, considering the controversy?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think you're a bad assistant GM if you're not. Honestly, if you're not paying attention to who's over there and what they're, you have.
Can I also tell you that
1,000 media members that normally is not at Minute Maid Park, and they're dude. Let me tell you, when I went to go pick up my cred, I had to leave because it would have been 30 or 40 minutes just in media people. Okay, so now you have to kind of be more alert and more attentive to what's the storyline going to be here? Because look, when they win the World Series, there's going to be some negative naysayers out there, and there's going to be some negative storylines that reporters are gonna draw up, and they have to be attentive to that.
I'm just telling you, you asked me, and I would have never known what the purple because I know purple is pancreatic cancer. And that would have been my first assumption. I didn't know that purple was the color for domestic violence. I had no idea.
Right.
Now, if he did, you know, who's to say? I don't know.
Or maybe he looked. Maybe he didn't know at first glance, and then he looked into it. Why is this medium? You never know. Like you never know. He digged a little. Whether or not he digged a little further and said, maybe this. What does this bracelet mean? And then he looked at it and he saw it was something. In regards to that.
You think he did all that in the locker room, celebrating going to the World Series?
I feel like
that's
kind of your job when you're the assistant general manager to know who's covering you. That's my point.
The only thing I would say on that is, if it's anything like the Rockets, they never forget. So if there was any point during, that's why I brought this up to start with.
Yeah.
At any point during the Osuna trade, acquisition, backlash after the acquisition, all the way leading up to his court and everything like that, these organizations, they have charts. They know who wrote what about every entire situation involving the organization. So that's why I said that. There may be an axe to grind that we aren't aware of either, where somebody in that earshot was someone that had a whole lot to say bashing the organization. Because remember now, from the get-go, we said, oh, the quote says they did their due diligence.
Right.
And we kept saying, well, they better have, and they better be sure, because this is a big deal. So we know that there were a lot of people after that, they had a lot to say before the actual truth came out in the final court case. So I don't know all the details. Like you said, there's a lot of gray area, but I think that maybe that's something to factor in as well.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I'm being very clear here. I'm not suggesting that this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that the story as presented on Sports Illustrated by Stephanie Epstein doesn't make sense to me, because it wouldn't make sense to be praising a guy that just crapped the bed on the field. So I feel like something had to happen to trigger this. Whether it was, as the Astros are saying, a question about a player to another player, and maybe those three people that were sitting around that could corroborate it had their backs, or were, it was on the side and sure, they didn't see it. It's chaotic. So I just, that's where I wanted to start with this, because that, now we can talk about, you know, the decisions and everything else, and it, but I just, that part of this story didn't make sense to me. So I don't know. I'm sure that there was, I wish, Nick, you would have been in the locker room.
Oh, I can't tell you how angry I guess I was distracted by Kate Upton, but I was on the field.
Which is understandable.
And, who isn't?
And I just, you know, there was still a lot of reporters on the field.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wish I was in the clubhouse. Well, believe
and here's the thing, Barry. Your point is very valid too, because as Nick can attest, this isn't like any other post game show. Mm. I mean, post game locker room. There's not people being interviewed about the game that just was, because you know what? The result is what it is. The Astros are moving on to the World Series. It was a celebration that was going on.
It's chaotic.
The only thing that you can say that might be possible was he overheard someone doing one of those live shots or one of those videos interviews with one of the players.
That too.
And within earshot, he heard it and thought, okay, well, while he's still doing the interview, I'm going to start screaming how happy we are we got this guy.
Yeah.
So we can keep kicking that around, because it's a big story leading into game one of the World Series. But plenty more to get to on the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside. I'm loving it so much. Yesterday I stopped, filled up the tank, and I'm going to do it again before I head out of town, and I'm getting cash back when I do that. Are you getting cash back? How much money did you leave at the pump today? You could be getting up to 25 cents a gallon every time you fill up your car or your wife's car or your kid's car or a company car. It doesn't matter. You're putting gas in a vehicle. Be using Get Upside when you do it. I don't want you leaving money at the pump. 25 cents a gallon, if that's what you could get. And again, you can get up to that. And if you use my promo code Barry, you can actually get more on your first fill up. But let's just think about this for a second. Jake Asman used my promo code, got $7 back on his first fill up. Imagine somebody walking up to you and be like, hey man, here's $7 while you're filling up. You're not going to be like, no, thank you. I don't want that. Absolutely, you're going to take that money. And that's why I want you to use Get Upside. It's so easy to install. It's so easy to use. There's no commitments. You're not locked in. I keep telling you this, and there are people out there that aren't doing it. If you don't like it, don't use it. But you're not going to know, and you're not going to be able to see the cash back value that you're getting if you don't try it. So do yourself a favor right now. Go put it on your phone. Download Get Upside. It's all one word in the iTunes and Google Play Store. Put it on your phone. Put in promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, can you feel the love as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects?
Can you feel?
Could have done without
that. What is that song? Can you feel?
Are you in your car right now with the windows up and XM radio on?
Yes.
You're not. So therefore, we don't need you doing your karaoke.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Yes.
Okay. That reminds me. Every time I see The Lion King now, there's a comedian that does a really good joke. I worked with him when I featured for Pops. And his name is Ben. And he ruined it for me, because he says basically Lion King is just porn. And then he goes through why. It's such a good joke. And then once you watch it, you're like, yep, that's porn. Never watching, letting my kids watch that again. Had to see it.
Okay.
Good joke.
I'm going to check out the new Lion King for sure.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to take a chick again, aren't you?
I might.
Yeah. Did they get real lions?
Well, you remember what happened with him and
it's not. I don't think it's that. Get out of here.
Remember what happened with him and Aladdin and getting the whole lamp rubbed?
Huh?
When he took the chick to Aladdin.
Yeah. Oh,
Aladdin. So he's
yeah.
like, I'm going trying all animation the, all the time.
Trying to release the
yeah.
peen genie.
He wants to be the king of the jungle.
You know it.
A couple texts. We were talking in the previous segment about the Astros and the post-game celebration controversy in the locker room about what was said about Osuna to some reporters and whether, you know, our thoughts on it.
Sure.
A couple of listeners. So a lot of people are saying the same thing. Well, maybe it was sarcasm. Maybe he was being like, oh, I'm so glad we got Osuna. Ugh. And he was drunk and doing it.
Sarcasm is not a good thing if he knew what they stood for. Like, the reason why I was talking about if you're an assistant GM and you should cover wasn't necessarily to be like combative. The reality is, if you're an assistant general manager of any real franchise and you just signed someone like Osuna, because let's be real, the only reason why they signed Osuna is because he was good and he was going to come at a deal because of his background.
Correct.
Let's be real.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So when you have someone like that on your roster, as an assistant GM, GM, manager, anybody a part of that team should know exactly who is covering your team and what they feel passionately about. And obviously that reporter was wearing a bracelet. You should know that if you're the assistant GM, in my opinion. Joel, have a background
in this. Yes, here's what I'm going to go with on this, Nick. And I don't know if Major League Baseball does what the NBA does. But in the case of this situation, he's an analytics guy. He works for Jeff Luhnow. He's an intelligent human being when it comes to the stuff he does at his job. But is he as educated when it comes to what to say, what not to say, and how you handle the media and in settings such as that where the media is present? Because the NBA, not only for their players and their coaching staff, but also for key members of their front office staff, make them go through training and PR training every year for that very reason. Because you may be the smartest guy in the room, Daryl Morey, but you also may not be up to snuff in terms of how to act when you're in the room with people that no matter what you say, especially when it's going to be printed and you can't hear the tone and the context of what he's saying, you could be in a real tough situation for not only you, but for your organization. And so the NBA puts you through training for this. I don't know if MLB does the same thing, but this is a learning experience in which MLB and each team should go, you know what? If we have a team that's going to be formidable and we're going to be in the playoffs, it's not just going to be our local media that we have this relationship with where we can go, hey, easy. Don't print that unless it... National media doesn't care.
Nope.
And they're going to report exactly what they feel and see and want to do. So that's where I think training should come in more for your very point.
And I agree with you. I don't know if MLB goes through that training, but as an assistant GM, I just tend to feel you should have the comments. You're smart enough, obviously, absolutely, if you're an assistant GM.
I think you would know the main players in town.
In terms of who's covering the team and the sport?
Yeah, I think you would know the Kaplans, the Brian McTaggart.
Everybody knows Richard
Justice. What's her name?
Allison Footer.
Allison Footer.
I almost call her Allison Little.
That would be fantastic.
Allison Footer. But I'm saying, would I know... some random Chronicle reporter, maybe that's just that, or you know, I don't know. I don't think that they would because they're not there every day.
But you know what? They know him. You know why? Because this guy, if he's working under Luhnow and this team is again fighting for a World Series, he's going to be a highly sought after guy, even though they signed him to a contract.
You think an average reporter knows who the assistant GM of the Astros is and looks like?
Not an average reporter, no. But that's I think not only the beat writers, but I'm saying my point is
I don't think he even knew the reporter that's Stephanie Epstein. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Epstein, yeah.
Okay. I don't think he knew her. I would admit that. But you should be more alert to
I go back to my point about the fact that maybe someone wrote something during that whole thing that we're not aware of, that we didn't remember, that they all obviously keep track of and do. It's possible.
So what were the names of the folks that she had said that this occurred
Hunter Atkins,
to?
Who I don't know him like super
Chronicle,
well, but
right?
I know him.
Now, Chronicle?
Yeah, I see him. I've seen him at, we say hi to each other all the time. I've seen him at Rockets, Astros, and Texans.
So he was one of the ones that corroborated the story?
Correct.
Or that it was said to?
And Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo Sports were the two that corroborated the story.
I don't know the Yahoo Sports girl, but I know who Hunter Atkins is.
Hunter Atkins of the Chronicle, Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo Sports, and then later Chandler Rome came out and said there was another Cron reporter that corroborated the story, may have been one of the ones that didn't want their name involved in the story as an anonymous witness.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I'm with you. So we know, so this wasn't said to Hannah Kaiser or Hunter Atkins. They're just corroborating that they saw him saying.
Yeah, so Stephanie is also saying she saw it. I don't think it was told to Stephanie. It was told to other reporters. And Stephanie is reporting that she saw this. And then Hunter and the girl from Yahoo Sports is corroborating the story. Hunter Atkins from the Chronicle and the girl from Yahoo Sports is corroborating the story that Stephanie saw the assistant general manager direct his comments to three female reporters, one of which was wearing that bracelet. Yeah. That is what the story is.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So let's be clear, too. We're just laying it all out on the table. We're not, you know, someone insinuated that we were taking the man's approach on this. No, we're saying that there's two sides to every story. Kind of like if we just go back to the actual Osuna story when the Astros traded for him. What did we say from the get-go? The truth is going to come out in the end at some point. It may not come out as fast as you want it to, but you're hopeful that the truth will come out and the rest of the story and the details will present itself. But in the meantime, we're just giving scenarios based on what we know.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, who notices the bracelet? Why is that brought up so prominently in the story? I want to know if there's history with the bracelet-wearing reporter or her colleagues. Lastly, I agree with you bringing him up in that context that after that outing, unless you were there to bash him. So that was from JT Ag. But yeah, the fact that the bracelet was brought up,
I totally agree
with
you there.
It is way too prominent in the story.
It seems very specific in a story about
it's a
generalities.
Weird detail to reveal.
Yeah, in a story about generalities, I think it's trying to paint the picture that, hey, you yelled at someone who's wearing a bracelet that's that's trying to call out the issue of domestic violence. But it just seems oddly specific.
Right, because like you
said,
I
don't think anyone in that chaos is noticing a purple bracelet. You just can't convince me of that.
We know the ribbon pins in pink represent breast cancer. We know certain things. But these days, there are individuals that are in a tough situation in the hospital in which they create funds for them.
Yeah.
And each family picks out their own bracelet color and their own message on the bracelet. And so you can see in a lot of the baseball players have several bracelets that represent several kids or organizations or fundraisers that they're deeply involved in. And that may or may not be the same color as a bracelet that you're talking about that people are supposed to see and immediately be aware and go, boom, I know what that is. Yeah. I don't think that's fair.
Again, I just did a quick Google search because I had no idea what purple represented in anything. So I just did purple cancer ribbon, and it's pancreatic cancer. How would you just assume that it's going to be domestic violence? Maybe, I don't know. I just, there's a lot of assumptions going on in this story. And obviously we're not going to have the facts or get the facts, but I have facts for you. If you're wanting to bet on football or bet on the World Series, the fact is you can do no better than mybookie.ag. They are the online resource for getting action on any game out there. I love them because when you bet and you win and you want to get your money out, it's not a problem. Nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. First of all, they have odds on everything, so you don't have to worry about that. You're not missing out on anything by going with some no-name sports book that you're not sure if you can trust. They've got odds on all the games. They got more prop bets than any sports book out there, parlays, teasers, whatever it is that you want to do when it comes to wagering, it's there at MyBookie. The difference, the thing that sets them apart from their competition is they pay you. And when you want to get your money out, that's super important in this business, that when you want your money, you want your money. And with MyBookie, you're not going to get the runaround. You're not going to get a lot of hassle like you do with some of these other sports books. Don't take chances with your money. Don't do that. Who you bet on is as important as who you bet with. I say that, and I mean it, because it's important that you know this, that MyBookie pays you faster than anybody. Period, end of story. And look, right now, they've got a double your first deposit deal going on. Use promo code RADIO. You're going to get up to $1,000 in free money to wager however you see fit with MyBookie. It's right there. All you got to do is just type in promo code RADIO, and they'll double your first deposit up to $1,000. How cool is that? Guys, get started right now. Go to MyBookie.ag, put in promo code RADIO, start playing. Because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number number one just flying by as we keep it going on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday. Boys, way back Wednesday. Tomorrow, we have options. People make suggestions. Let's just try and come up with something before the end of the show.
Cool. Y'all let me know what you decide. So,
artists from Washington, D.C., New York, or Tampa?
What?
Why those markets?
Because they were the opponents of the Astros in the
playoffs.
Better
get beat. Go Astros!
Some of the things that happen with this guy, I'm so conditioned to it now. I just look at you, Nick, and go, all right.
Does it bother you?
No, not at all.
Huh?
No, not at all. It actually shows that you're human and you do have a sensitive side.
I don't know. What?
You do have a sensitive side, he says.
I don't know.
At least on the air.
Why was that sensitive?
Because you show you have emotional connection to your Astros.
Because I say, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I do.
I do, too.
I love my Astros.
I got hammered for that, too, by the way.
We're loving the
Astros?
People
back home are upset with me because I'm an Astros fan. I go, look, I was thousands of miles away, and I endured baseball every night from a team that lost 100 games a year for several years, and then I saw them build a franchise the right way with a bunch of likable players that play the game the right way, and I went, you know what? I like that team.
So you're an Astro in the last 10 years? 5 years? 7 years?
No, 10.
10? Okay. Yeah,
10.
I'll allow it.
Thanks, appreciate that. And it made it easier when the Brewers were went to the National League, because then I can say the Brewers are my National League team. And
there you go. Yeah.
That doesn't go over very well in my family because of the fact that my family, aside from me and a few remaining relatives on my side, are all Californians that are Dodger fans.
Yeah, who cares?
Exactly. Where are they? Home. Yeah. Enjoy.
That's right. Are you doing that now or
no?
You had it. I was waiting on you. I was going to jump in and
Barry, I'm the one. I'll tell you what I'm doing. You just follow the lead on that, okay?
On Twitter.
Yes.
Where'd it go? Not Unreal David G said the following. Okay. The Astros must have gotten a list of all people on the credentials list. Therefore, they should have vetted these people to see what their passions are. Then notify all the staff and players of the sensitive situation. That's not how that works, though. That's not how that works. I don't think that the Astros, one, MLB does the credentials for the ALCS and World Series.
Correct.
Not the Astros.
That is correct.
So the Astros didn't get to pick and choose who was going to be in that locker room. MLB did. And I don't even think during the regular season that before the season starts that the Astros necessarily vet every single person that does their credentials. Now, they may know who talks trash about them. They may know, oh, this guy on this radio station says a bunch of bad things about us, so we're not going to give him a credential. We'll just say we're full.
It's a fact.
But I don't think that they're going, okay, so Barry Laminack requested it. Let's go see where is he a Democrat or Republican? Is he pro-choice or pro-life?
No, is
has
he
ever been? Has he ever been convicted of beating a person? Is it like, they're not doing that. They just go, Barry Laminack, ESPN, that chode said a bunch of bad things about us. Nope. That's it.
And that is a fact. That will happen.
But they're not vetting me.
Right, but they're not going...
And with a list of passions.
And essentially what they're doing, too, is because they're out is, oh, okay, well, at that station, you've got John Granato and Charlie Pulillo and Lance Zierlein, who have been in this market for this many years. They get them.
Yeah.
And then based on what we have left over, because we have to appease every outlet in the city, we'll determine and put that guy on that list as a on-the-fence guy, and then later go, you know what? We had too many requests and not enough credentials. We're sorry. This year, it's not you.
Yep.
Or you can just be the flagship in football and no one else gets anything.
That's
easy, too.
Yeah. So.
I got to verify this, by the way.
You saw Trey's tweet?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything on ESPN. Did he fall for the fake Darren Revelle
it's
or
possible.
Whatever?
Trey, Juggalo Trey is reporting a trade in the NFL that we're not going to report until we have some backup on it.
He's like, guys, Michael Rapoport is, nope, that's not a credible source.
Don't follow that one.
That's not the source, Trey. Yeah, but I'm not seeing the... I know the Patriots went out and a source is saying that they acquired Mohamed Sanu from the Falcons.
Yep.
So the rich just got richer.
No doubt about it. That was the one guy they were kind of missing, and obviously they've been searching for another receiver as a complement to the guys they already have in Edelman and Josh Gordon and things like that. And if you get a guy like this, even if you gave up a second-round pick to get him,
that's a lot.
That was one of the missing pieces. But for all intensive purposes, from the people that have talked about this trade, they've said he's a Patriots kind of guy. He's smart.
Yep.
He knows where to be, what routes to run.
He's precise.
That's what Brady expects in a receiver. And so, you know what? If you know that that's the one weakness you have and you're that close to another Super Bowl, you go out and get every piece you possibly can, especially when you're sitting undefeated at this point in the season. You know, Atlanta's having a fire sale. And by the way, they still have Ridley, the young receiver, to complement Julio Jones. So they've got other guys on their roster, and they're not going anywhere. So, you know, it was a deal that helps both sides. Atlanta gets a second-round pick. New England gets a receiver they need.
I was going to say, I was looking at the article, and I said that a second's a lot for Mohamed Sanu. I feel like that's the overpaying a little bit. But with all the injuries that they've had in their receiving core, you understand it. But then in the article, it says second-round pick is significant, but one reason the Patriots might have felt comfortable is that Sanu's contract extends through the 2020 season.
Which is beautiful.
So they've got him the rest of this year and the following year. And you know, if you're coming to the end of Tom Brady's career, you want some weapons around him to make these last couple runs. So that makes sense.
If the second round pick is coming from the Patriots, it's really a high third.
That's true.
Because they always finish where they finish. So
if
they're the last pick in the first round, it's like the first pick in the second round and vice versa. So
great point.
There you go.
I think Adam Schefter did report it, by the way.
Did he?
All right. So if he did, we'll come back in hour number two with some breaking news on another trade in the NFL and also get into the Astros and the Nationals game one. It's Garrett Cole. It is Max Scherzer, and it's going to be a great game tonight at Minute Maid Park. So we'll talk about that and some real baseball as well as other things as we open up hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.